Today is the 8th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire, everybody. It is really, really encouraging to see you today. And I hope you feel the same, that we are all here together in a safe place, a safe oasis that we make every day, a place of restoration and repair as the scriptures speak into our lives, a place of maturity as we are challenged and observe ourselves. Grateful to be here with you today to take the next step forward, and that will lead us back into the book of 1 Samuel. We just got started. We're just moving in. But as we move into 1 Samuel, we are moving into a complete new era. And we've already talked about that. But let's just keep our orientation. We're moving into totally different times. Samuel is the final judge of Israel, who leads the children of Israel to the monarchy, to their first king. Today, 1 Samuel 2, 22 through 4. 22. Eli was now very old. He kept hearing about everything his sons were doing to the Israelites, and that they were even sleeping with the women who worked at the entrance to the tent of the Lord's presence. So he said to them, "Why are you doing these things? Everybody tells me about the evil you are doing. Stop it, my sons. This is an awful thing the people of the Lord are talking about. If anyone sins against someone else, God can defend the one who is wrong. But who can defend someone who sins against the Lord?" But they would not listen to their father, for the Lord had decided to kill them. The boy Samuel continued to grow and to gain favor both with the Lord and with people. A prophet came to Eli with this message from the Lord. "When your ancestor Aaron and his family were slaves of the king of Egypt, I revealed myself to Aaron. From all the tribes of Israel, I chose his family to be my priests, to serve at the altar, to burn the incense, and to wear the ephod, to consult me. And I gave them the right to keep a share of the sacrifices burned on the altar. Why then do you look with greed at the sacrifices and offerings which I require from my people? Why, Eli, do you honor your sons more than me by letting them fatten themselves on the best parts of all the sacrifices my people offer to me? I, the Lord God of Israel, promised in the past that your family and your clan would serve me as priests for all time. But now I say that I won't have it any longer. Instead, I will honor those who honor me, and I will treat with contempt those who despise me. Listen, the time is coming when I will kill all the young men in your family and your clan, so that no man in your family will live to be old. You will be troubled and look with envy on all the blessings I will give to the other people of Israel. But no one in your family will ever again live to old age. Yet I will keep one of your descendants alive, and he will serve me as priest. But he will become blind and lose all hope, and all your other descendants will die a violent death. When your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, both die on the same day, this will show you that everything I have said will come true. I will choose a priest who will be faithful to me and do everything I want him to do. I will give him descendants who will always serve in the presence of my chosen king. Any of your descendants who survive will have to go to that priest and ask him for money and food, and beg to be allowed to help the priests in order to have something to eat. In those days, when the boy Samuel was serving the Lord under the direction of Eli, there were very few messages from the Lord, and visions from him were quite rare. One night Eli, who was now almost blind, was sleeping in his own room. Samuel was sleeping in the sanctuary where the sacred covenant box was. Before dawn, while the lamp was still burning, the Lord called Samuel. He answered, "Yes, sir," and ran to Eli and said, "You called me, and here I am." But Eli answered, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel went back to bed. The Lord called Samuel again. The boy did not know that it was the Lord, because the Lord had never spoken to him before. So he got up, went to Eli, and said, "You called me, and here I am." But Eli answered, "My son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." The Lord called Samuel a third time. He got up and went to Eli and said, You called me, and here I am." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to him, "Go back to bed, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. The Lord came and stood there and called as he had before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, your servant is listening." The Lord said to him, "Someday I am going to do something to the people of Israel that is so terrible that everyone who hears about it will be stunned. On that day, I will carry out all my threats against Eli's family, from beginning to end. I have already told him that I am going to punish his family forever, because his sons have spoken evil things against me." Eli knew they were doing this, but he did not stop them. "So I solemnly declare to the family of Eli that no sacrifice or offering will ever be able to remove the consequences of this terrible sin." Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then he got up and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli about the vision. Eli called him, "Samuel, my boy."
"Yes, sir," Samuel answered.
"What did the Lord tell you?" Eli asked.
"Don't keep anything from me. God will punish you severely if you don't tell me everything he said." So Samuel told him everything. He did not keep anything back. Eli said, "He is the Lord. He will do whatever seems best to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and made come true everything that Samuel said. So all the people of Israel from one end of the country to the other knew that Samuel was indeed a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to reveal himself at Shiloh, where he had appeared to Samuel and had spoken to him. And when Samuel spoke, all Israel listened. At that time, the Philistines gathered to go to war against Israel. So the Israelites set out to fight them. The Israelites set up their camp at Ebenezer, and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines attacked, and after fierce fighting, they defeated the Israelites and killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the survivors came back to camp, the leaders of Israel said, "Why did the Lord let the Philistines defeat us today? Let's go and bring the Lord's covenant box from Shiloh, so that he will go with us and save us from our enemies." So they sent messengers to Shiloh and got the covenant box of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned above the winged creatures. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, came along with the covenant box. When the covenant box arrived, the Israelites gave such a loud shout of joy that the earth shook. The Philistines heard the shouting and said, "Listen to all that shouting in the Hebrew camp. What does it mean?" When they found out that the Lord's covenant box had arrived in the Hebrew camp, they were afraid and said, "A god has come into their camp. We're lost. Nothing like this has ever happened to us before." Who can save us from those powerful gods? They are the gods who slaughtered the Egyptians in the desert. Be brave, Philistines. Fight like men, or we will become slaves to the Hebrews, just as they were our slaves. So fight like men. The Philistines fought hard and defeated the Israelites, who went running to their homes. There was a great slaughter. 30,000 Israelite soldiers were killed. God's covenant box was captured, and Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were both killed. A man from the tribe of Benjamin ran all the way from the battlefield to Shiloh and arrived there the same day. To show his grief, he had torn his clothes and put dirt on his head. Eli, who was very worried about the covenant box, was sitting in his seat beside the road staring. The man spread the news throughout the town, and everyone cried out in fear. Eli heard the noise and asked, "What is all this noise about?" The man hurried to Eli to tell him the news. Eli was now 98 years old and almost completely blind. The man said, "I have escaped from the battle and have run all the way here today." Eli asked him, "What happened to my son?" The messenger answered, "Israel ran away from the Philistines. It was a terrible defeat for us. Besides that, your sons Hophni and Phinehas were killed, and God's covenant box was captured." When the man mentioned the covenant box, Eli fell backward from his seat beside the gate. He was so old and fat that the fall broke his neck, and he died. He had been a leader in Israel for 40 years. Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant, and it was almost time for her baby to be born. When she heard that God's covenant box had been captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she suddenly went into labor and gave birth. As she was dying, the women helping her said to her, "Be brave, you have a son." But she paid no attention and did not answer. She named the boy Ichabod, explaining, "God's glory has left Israel," referring to the capture of the covenant box and the death of her father-in-law and her husband. "God's glory has left Israel," she said, "because God's covenant box has been captured." John 5, 24 through 47. "I am telling you the truth. Those who hear my words and believe in him who sent me have eternal life. They will not be judged, but have already passed from death to life. I am telling you the truth. The time is coming. The time has already come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will come to life. Just as the Father is himself the source of life, in the same way he has made his Son to be the source of life, and he has given the Son the right to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be surprised at this. The time is coming when all the dead will hear his voice and come out of their graves. Those who have done good will rise and live, and those who have done evil will rise and be condemned. I can do nothing on my own authority. I judge only as God tells me. So my judgment is right, because I am not trying to do what I want, but only what he who sent me wants. If I testify on my own behalf, what I say is not to be accepted as real proof. But there is someone else who testifies on my behalf, and I know that what he says about me is true. John is the one to whom you sent your messengers, and he spoke on behalf of the truth. It is not that I must have a human witness. I say this only in order that you may be saved. John was like a lamp burning and shining, and you were willing for a while to enjoy his light. But I have a witness on my behalf, which is even greater than the witness that John gave. What I do, that is, the deeds my Father gave me to do, these speak on my behalf and show that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me also testifies on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or seen his face, and you do not keep his message in your hearts, for you do not believe in the one whom he sent. You study the scriptures because you think that in them you will find eternal life. And these very scriptures speak about me. Yet you are not willing to come to me in order to have life. I am not looking for human praise, but I know what kind of people you are, and I know that you have no love for God in your hearts. I have come with my Father's authority, but you have not received me. When, however, someone comes with his own authority, you will receive him. You like to receive praise from one another, but you do not try to win praise from the one who alone is God. How then can you believe me? Do not think, however, that I am the one who will accuse you to my Father. Moses, in whom you have put your hope, is the very one who will accuse you. If you had really believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote about me. But since you do not believe in what he wrote, how can you believe what I say? Psalm 106, 1 through 12. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love is eternal. Who can tell all the great things he has done? Who can praise him enough? Happy are those who obey his commands, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you help your people. Include me when you save them. Let me see the prosperity of your people and share in the happiness of your nation, in the glad pride of those who belong to you. We have sinned as our ancestors did. We have been wicked and evil. Our ancestors in Egypt did not understand God's wonderful acts. They forgot the many times he showed them his love, and they rebelled against the Almighty at the Red Sea. But he saved them, as he had promised, in order to show his great power. He gave a command of the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led his people across on dry land. He saved them from those who hated them. He rescued them from their enemies. But the water drowned their enemies. Not one of them was left. Then his people believed his promises and sang praises to him. Proverbs 14, 30, and 31. Peace of mind makes the body healthy. But jealousy is like a cancer. If you oppress poor people, you insult the God who made them. But kindness shown to the poor is an act of worship. Okay, so our reading today, there's a lot packed into it. First Samuel tells the story of essentially Samuel's calling, and as he grows up, his rise to trust by the people and prominence, and even the respect as a prophet, like juxtaposed against unbelievably evil and unethical, unfaithful behavior of his brothers in the temple at Shiloh. So the high priest at this time is named Eli, and he had grown old, as we know, and the scriptures are very specific to let us know that he had also grown very, very fat. So Eli's sons were to be the next generation of priests. But they were busy pilfering the best of the sacrificial food and having sex with the women who assisted at the tabernacle. So God called Samuel away from basically the example that is being put before him about how you do this. And his first prophetic word was a very specific and, I mean, very difficult judgment upon Eli and his sons. And that judgment came true pretty quickly thereafter in a battle with the Philistines, who captured the Ark of the Covenant, and Hophni and Phinehas were killed in that battle. And when Eli got the news, he fell over and broke his neck. So that's a lot of drama there, but this is how we see Samuel rise to prominence and become the final judge of Israel. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking very directly. The truth I'm telling you, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me, they have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. I mean, the implications of that are pretty profound. So those of us who are listening to Jesus' words and believe in the God who sent his son will never be condemned for sin ever. That's, in a cosmic way, unspeakably good news. This is the good news that we are supposed to be living within and spreading to the ends of the earth. And then Proverbs, which so often is so short and so poignant and so powerful, it hits us right in the forehead. Today it's talking about health. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. So often the stresses of life send us toward the medical community or the mental health community, where we look for the pill or the cure or the words to our ails to unpack and untangle, or we look for like some kind of corrective procedure to correct what has begun to fail. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Science and medicine are beautiful gifts of God, and we should be profoundly grateful for that wisdom. But what we're finding out here is that our intentionality in seeking peace from within, peace inside of us, peace in our heart, in our guts, within us, is a preventative medicine that is actually always available and can profoundly affect our health. But check this out, because the proverb isn't done with us. Jealousy is like cancer in your bones. Man, that is so stark. That is a bit of a big deal then. Jealousy is, or envy is, quite a big deal. The Bible is equating rivalry, vengefulness, revenge, competition, resentment, suspicion, to cancer. Who signs up to have cancer? And yet, if we're going to live in envy, we are signing up for it. Choosing to constantly compare our lives to others in the pursuit of some sort of identity that gives us identity and superiority is like signing up to have cancer. So may we invite the Holy Spirit into areas of jealousy and envy in our lives. Because according to the Bible, those things are eating you alive. And any of us who have ever envied, ever been jealous, any of these things, if we would step back and just be still for a minute and say, what does jealousy, what does envy, what does that actually feel like in my body? Yeah, it feels like you're being eaten alive. But thankfully, there's a cure. Ask God to show you what a peaceful heart even looks like. Like, what then, if envy and jealousy feel like being eaten alive with anxiety and competition, what does a peaceful heart feel like in our body? May we release the cancer of envy that will only kill us in the end and lead us down paths that are darker than we can imagine. Holy Spirit, this is very practical, and we invite you fully into it. It is a peaceful heart that is the goal, the ideal, the target. A peaceful heart is like living medicine to restore our bodies. But this envy and jealousy and competition and fighting each other for position and to be seen as superior in some sort of way, and we prostitute ourselves to get the validation in any way, in any numbers of ways that are so profoundly unhealthy, this is like cancer. Show us what a peaceful heart feels like so that we can never forget that feeling, and so that we can become still and ask ourselves, is my heart peaceful, or am I being pulled in some direction that is not healthy? Because a peaceful heart is the medicine I seek. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base. And as we know by now, everything is all new around here. So a little growing pains, far less than could have been, but definitely a couple moments of real growth pains along the way that are to be expected. But things are very much all dialed in the new platform and working generally as expected. So thank you for your continued prayers and continuing to use the app, continuing to move around and play around and try all of the different things out, because that actually helps us dial everything in for the future, for everyone who will ever encounter this global campfire. So yeah, check out the community section. I've mentioned it before, but community, it's an important aspect of what we do here. It's an important aspect to know that we're doing this together, we're not alone, that we can model the body of Christ well here, that we're on the same page as a community here. And so the community section is indeed an important one, and it's been very much expanded since previous. So you'll find different buttons, like the connect button. That's where to find all different connection points, whether that be social media links, email, everything like that. You'll see a new music section which connects you directly with the music of the Daily Audio Bible, all that we have released over these years. And that makes it really, really easy to get to wherever it is that you are streaming your music. There is a watch section. The watch section is all new. All kinds of video content there. Whether that be introductions to the different 66 books of the Bible. Whether that be way over 100 specific locations that we have filmed as they are today. As they are as pieces of archaeology now. To kind of see the places that we visit in the Bible and what they look like today. There's like some devotional things, some films to take us deeper. But there's also the testimonial section, which is brand new and a favorite and is quickly becoming like a community favorite. That is where we can just scroll and hear from each other and love what we're saying and like type a little word of encouragement back to each other and just scroll. Like, what a positive way to scroll through and get to know the community. And you can contribute your testimonial as well. Just record a video in the app and it will walk you through that. So make sure all of those things get checked out while you're checking out, moving in. Enjoy. We certainly are enjoying. I very much am enjoying that testimonial section. It's for me, you know, standing in front of a mic, looking out at the rolling hills of Tennessee every day and imagining everybody. For me to be able to scroll through and make connections, it's beautiful. So hope the same thing happens for you. Check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
I'm calling from Las Vegas. I love my Jesus so much, but I need help in getting a stronger relationship with him, for I don't know where to start, how to go about making him my everything. That's all I want, is for him to be my everything. Life gets in the way, trials and tribulations. But still, I go back to one thing. The Lord, my Jesus, please pray for me. Pray that I can get there. Pray that I can make him my everything. I'm trying, and I just don't know what else to do.
Good morning, my wonderful DAB family. This is Marion from New Zealand. I just feel in my heart to pray for all the prodigals. There are so many of us that ring up and ask for prayers for our children, our adult children that have walked away, that are having problems, that are struggling, that are in an addiction and all sorts of things. Father, I just uplift our prodigals. I pray for their return. I know that you are able to change their heart, to touch them, that you are with them. Holy Spirit, that you are with them. And your promise, we claim your promise, Father, that as we walk with you, as we believe you, as we trust you, as we obey you, that it goes down to generation upon generation. And we claim the promise of salvation for our children. And I just really pray, Father, that our prodigals return, and that I trust, Father, that this will come about, and that we can trust you and claim in Jesus' name the salvation of our children, of our prodigals. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Hi, this is Mary from North Carolina. It is Monday, May the 4th. I was just in the middle of listening to the community prayers from this past weekend. And there was a lady that said she encountered a mother and some children and a gentleman that probably the children and the mother were in an abusive situation. And the young boy was just, you know, calling out to Jesus for help. And so I'm praying for each and every child out there that's being abused, mistreated, even the horror of maybe even being trafficked, that God, as I speak, will intervene and direct and guide steps to help these kids and deliver them and free them from this treatment and oppression. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you're putting people in place everywhere to recognize and help and see that there may be children out there that need someone to speak up for them and even pray for them and help their parents or guardians. You said, Father, if mother and father forsake you, you will take us up. You've done that even in my life when I was growing up as emotionally and mentally mistreated and even sexually mistreated. And so, God, if you're able to help me and deliver me from all of the emotional trauma of it and pain and everything, Father, you can do that for these kids well before they have to face the results of them being mistreated. And so I cover each and every child in your name by your blood, Lord. And we honor you that you will take them up when mother and father forsake them. Love you all, everybody out there. Love the new app. Praying for everybody. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Lonnie. I go by the handle Safe But Broken. I'm the one that's got the Mayo disease where the arteries ain't forming right in my brain, or they could possibly be missing. We don't know that yet. I'm the one that's had the two strokes, got the type 2 diabetes, the factor 5 light and blood clotting disorder. Needless to say, I am a mess. And I called in earlier, and I'm just totally, absolutely speechless over the people praying for me and saying that they're praying for me. I put it on the prayer wall and been getting really good response to that. You guys are absolutely amazing, and I can't thank you guys enough for that. Prayer is so important, and I am so thankful for this app. I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for my God. And last that I was telling you guys that the neurologist didn't have much hope for me. She said, just go live my best life and do what makes me happy, because it wasn't looking very good for me. Well, I did get some good news. I got, she referred me to a neurosurgeon in Boise, Idaho at St. Luke's. And I'm going there on Wednesday the 6th this week, and he's going to poke around in my brain for a half a day and see how bad the damage is, see if anything can even be done about it. And I think there's going to be good news here. I mean, prayer does work, and I am pretty confident that this will be resolved, and I'll come out somehow better than I was when I went in. But I want to thank you guys again for the prayers. I'm just giving you guys an update because you guys deserve that. We're family after all. And thank you guys for the prayers. There's, like I said, there's too many of them to name. And I will let you guys go. Please keep the prayers coming. This is Safe But Broken from Idaho. Thank you very much.
This is Jin In Min calling a prayer for Katie, who delivered early, 3 weeks early, has suffered multiple medical situations with stroke, hemorrhage, lung embolisms, just multiple problems, and her husband, Stu. And so, God, we lift up Katie to you, and we know that you know everything, and we rest in your knowledge. And I pray that you would intervene miraculously by your power, that you would intervene, that you would make what has been broken, that you would fix what is broken, that you would bring comfort to Katie, that you would bring comfort to Stu, that you would allow the baby, even though she can't bond, she's not bonding with mom, to bond with whoever is there, providing possibly, probably her dad. And so we lift up the whole situation to you, God, and we thank you that we can ask you these things and that you hear us. And whatever the outcome, we pray that everyone will rest in your provision. Thank you for bringing the prayer request here that we can all share in this trauma. Love you guys. Jin in Min. Bye-bye.
Good morning. This is Martha from California, and I'm requesting prayer for a couple of people. The first one is Celia. She's at the hospital right now this morning. Today is May 4th, and she went in for surgery in her back. They're replacing or removing a bone from her spine, and they're replacing it with a new bone, is what I was told. So if you could please pray for Celia for just a great outcome from the surgery, beyond her expectations, complete healing, and just a great testimony to share and to give encouragement to others. We ask you this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.